It's always a joy to be here at New Sterling. I was able to find it without too much trouble today. I don't know if some of y'all were here years ago, and I was reminded I went to a Gideon's banquet on Wednesday or Thursday night, I forget, and I sat down at a table. I didn't know who I was sitting with, and I looked up, and it was Walter Fleming, pastor at used to be a pastor at Stony Point ARP, and I don't know how many years ago it was, probably 20 years ago. I was scheduled to come here and preach, and for some reason I got turned around and thought I was to go up Highway 90, and I realized when I saw the sign to Taylorsville that I had missed it. And on the way back, I saw Stony Point ARP Church, and they were worshiping, and I had the nerve, or I don't know what you want to call it, but I pulled in and opened up the door, and as you know, that side door goes right straight into the sanctuary, and they were worshiping, and Walter Fleming was in there, and I had to go up and say, "I'm lost." And he told me to stand at the back of the church, and he would get with me in a moment, and after he finished what he was doing, he said to the congregation, I was standing in the back of the church, he said, "Our brother in the back is lost." And his wife said, "Yes, I was there that day. I'll never forget it." So I said, "I got to share that story one more time at Sterling Church." So I always remember coming here fondly. What a wonderful blessing David Sides is to church here. What a wonderful servant of the Lord, serving the Lord and giving of his time and of his talents and of his gifts here in the church. It's so many people I have fond memories of. I know Miss Gray back here. She was the principal when my girls were out at Ebenezer, and ran a wonderful school. What a blessing out there. Our girls were just very fortunate to have began their school career out there at Ebenezer. Thank you for your service. It's a joy to be here. I don't want to linger too long. After I was serving the church before I came to Iredale, and it's just a little church, and it was my last Sunday, and I went out to the back, and I was shaking hands, and this fellow that always sat on the back pew, Herb, and as he was leaving, he said, "I always enjoyed your preaching." So I said to him, "Herb, what did you enjoy about it?" And he said, "It was short." All right. Amen. I always remember that for Herb. That's a lesson. I like to stick with the scripture. And I was led to the story of the prodigal son. I know everybody here has probably read it many times, and I have too, but I was led to that story, and it has really blessed me over the last week or two as I have read and as I have studied it again. And let me just read through it, see what the Lord says to us through the story of the prodigal son. But before I get to the passage, it begins at the beginning of the 15th chapter. It's how the stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin begin. It says, "Now the tax collectors," those agents of the Roman government, those who had sold out to the government, "and sinners were gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees," the self-righteous ones, "and the teachers of the law muttered to themselves." You talked about kind of gossip and earlier. They muttered to themselves, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Like, what a despicable thing to do. And then he tries to lead them into the gospel, into the message of of grace and of love, as we heard with the children this morning. It's so foreign to us, trying to follow every iota of the law, and he tries to tell them about the fantastic grace of God that looks beyond our sin and our failings. As that song, that's one of my favorite songs that we sang earlier, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, when it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Anybody else feel that? Have mercy. I know I do. Streams of mercy, just for a little bit, never ceasing. Amen. Man. Tries to communicate the grace of God in this story, because I can be pretty judgmental at times. Anybody else in here get judgmental or self-righteous? I know I can. I have a picture in my office. I know Scott's probably been in there and seen that picture. It's a picture of the prodigal son coming home. It just moves me every time I see it. I can just see it in my mind's eye of the father with his arms and his eyes are shut and his big hands. His son is kneeling down and his big hands are just wrapped around his son's back, just like he's saying, thank you. Thank you for coming home. And the son, his hair is half fallen out and his shoes are disheveled, one's off, and his clothes are just dirty and torn. And you can just see the love and the thankfulness on the father's heart that his son has come home. But off on the side of the picture is also another moving part, is the religious leader watching this. And he stands off like this with his robes and his hat and his arms crossed and looking down at him. Peering down as if this isn't right. This shouldn't be happening. He has disgraced your family. He has taken everything you worked so hard for and wasted it. Thrown it away. Disgraced this community. And now you're going to take him back in. Moving picture, and I won't go too far into that, but the older son in the background lurking, longing. What about me? Let's hear the word of God. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me. Very, very selfish thinking. And we all do it. Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. Selfishness. Lured by the devil out of a loving family. Got together all he had and set off for a distant country. Basically saying to his father, I'm never coming back. Divorcing his family. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. You can imagine. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need, physical need, but he was already in a deep spiritual need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. For a Jew, pigs were unclean. One of the most despicable jobs that he could find. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. Listen to this verse right here. This is verse 16, and this one just jumped off the page at me. You know, the devil will lure us away from the love of God, from that love that God has for us and the love that he created us to have and to enjoy and to walk in. And he lures this younger son away, and the son finally gets to the end of the road, and he's in need. And what does it say? No one gave him anything. Empty. The devil's promises end up empty. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? Lavish. And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father." How hard is it? How hard is it when we come to the end of our rope to turn and to turn back to the Lord and walk that road and come back home? How hard is that? So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, you can just imagine his father praying for him. His father wondering where he was, maybe hearing stories. People asking, have you heard anything from him? Nothing? Well, rumors, who knows? But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Just imagine how his father may have felt. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Compassion means suffering with. Maybe the father had gone through some tough times in his younger days. Maybe he knew, like we all know, that it's so easy to stray away, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Maybe he had been through difficult times in his life. He had compassion for his son, for he may have known what it was like to be out there in the empty promises of the devil. What did he do? He ran to his son. Isn't that a great image? He just dropped whatever he was doing and ran to his son. And threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm not even worthy to be called your son." He didn't know what to expect. But when we hear that call to come home, when we hear that urge within our heart to return back to the Lord, to walk in that grace, to walk in that, when we get tired of trying to follow every iota of the law and trying to be self-righteous, when we get tired of that and leave it alone and come home to the grace of God, father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Amen? Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. Let's bring in whoever will celebrate with us. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And so they began to celebrate. What does this story say to your heart? What does this word and this story that's so central to the gospel say to my heart? One is that I don't ever want to be or linger in that stance of the righteous religious person where I'm judging and condemning somebody else. Lord, please don't let me linger in that stance. Protect me from that. It also tells me, because I've strayed away, it reminds me that we've never gone too far to return home. Amen? We can reach out, and God's mercy is for all. The cross. One of the little children, when you ask the question, he said, the cross. I love to hear that. Never too far away to turn and receive the grace of God, that love of God that heals our broken hearts, that reminds us of who we are, created out of the love of God. He created our lives and who we are out of his love. We don't need to try and be somebody else or compete with somebody else. We're who we are. He's given us that gift. He wants us to be who he has created us to be. And it reminds me of the importance. I was at the hospital this morning and we had a little request for prayer time. And one of the ladies in the wheelchair raised her hand and said, I just want to praise God because I forget who, I think it was her niece. She said, my niece is joining the church today. She gave her life to the Lord, and today, probably as we're right now, they're in another building, and she is giving her life to the Lord and joining the church. We are to celebrate with one another when somebody comes home. We are to give God thanks when somebody returns home to the Lord and begins to walk with the Lord. That scripture right before the prodigal son in Luke 13 speaks about the love of God and his desire for us to put our hands in his, to cast our cares upon him, to turn our lives over to him. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often? This is a father's heart. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. But we need to celebrate those who do turn. Those who do come. Those who do return unto the Lord and receive that grace, that forgiveness, that mercy, and begin that walk. Join his church. And become a part of the family of God. And receive his Holy Spirit that reminds us every day to hear that small voice in prayer say to us, you're my child. And in the deepest moments of prayer, we just simply hear, I love you. I love you. I really love you. created you out of my love, and I want the best for you, now and forever. I have a love for you that nothing can separate me from.